William Morrow and Harper Audio present The Tiffany Girls, a novel by Shelley Noble, performed by Carolyn Hewitt. To all the little-known Tiffany girls who helped break the glass ceiling for those to come. Chapter 1. July 1899, Montmartre, Paris. Émilie Pascal wipes her hands on the cleanest cloth she can find and carefully places the sheet of stationery on the desktop. It is her last one. She had managed to secrete two sheets from the Devereux writing desk this past fall when her father was finishing the Chevalier's portrait. She'd already had to use one. This one will be for her. She aligns the sheet just so, pulls the inkwell closer, takes a breath, and slowly touches her cheek. The bruise will be gone before she arrives in New York with her letter, but she must hurry. She must also be very precise, something that she has learned over the years. One mistake could cost her everything. Émilie pictures the letter she will write in her head like a scene on a canvas before she begins to paint. A florid but masculine script, just enough explanation, not too much praise. She touches the pen's tip to the page. My dear Mr. Tiffany. The pounding on the door comes just as she is about to sign her near-perfect forgery. She lifts the pen instinctually from the paper and, Dieu merci, it does not blotch the paper. Carefully now. Mes sincères salutations, le Chevalier Devereux. The door begins to shake under the increasing pounding. She has no blotter. Émilie blows on the signature, then folds the paper. She will not seal it with a wafer. Too much or too little is the one slip that will always give you away. She stands and hurries to her bed and the black portfolio that awaits its last work of art. Now the shouting begins.
Dominique André Pascal! Open the door in the name of the Sûreté de Paris!
Émilie slips the letter into the portfolio. The door will give soon. They won't find him here. He is gone. She doesn't know where, but good riddance. She throws a cloak over her shoulders and grabs her portfolio from the bed. One quick look about to make certain she has left nothing, and she races to the window. She has planned for this moment. It seems her whole life she has planned for this moment. The window is open, and she slides her most precious possession onto the little balcony, hoists her skirts, dark in color but light in weight, for her escape. One leg over the sill, then the other. She pulls the window closed just as the door gives. She scoops up the black case, throws it onto the next balcony, and throws herself after it. Jean and Marie are waiting to help her inside. They have heard the gendarmes in the hallway. Without a word, Marie helps Émilie into her cloak. They lead her over to the ladder to the roof, and she climbs up, gripping the handle of her portfolio as if it will sustain her in everything. And it will. Jean wants to see her safely away, but Émilie shakes her head.
Non, tu dois m'oublier.
Mais je t'aime.
Non.
Marie hands up the valise they have been keeping for this moment.
We'll send your trunk when you're settled.
Émilie nods. She cannot speak. Marie begins to cry. Jean snaps a warning look. Marie wipes her tears in case the gendarmes come to question them about their neighbors. Émilie looks out only long enough to make sure she is alone. Then she climbs onto the rooftop. Jean looks longingly up through the square opening. This is the way she will remember him, framed in light. Then the darkness closes over him, and Émilie is off over the rooftops of Paris. She has only one last stop to make on her way to the docks and the ship that will take her far away from here. From her memories, good and bad, her friends and her enemies, and most of all, from her father. She climbs down to the Rue Suger. The lights shine on silent cobblestones. No one is about. She hears no sound of searching police. Clutching her belongings, she starts north toward the river. It is a hot night, even for July,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?